Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Pontius Pilate, when he was interviewing Jesus, heard Jesus say, "I've come to testify to the truth." And Pilate says, probably with some sarcasm in his voice, "What is truth?" You see, Pilate didn't know what truth was. There are many in our culture today that don't know what truth is. You may have heard this before, somebody saying, "Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me." When somebody says something like that, you know that they believe that truth comes from what we think or feel within. But truth doesn't work that way. If the door back there at the back of the sanctuary is closed, it's closed no matter how I feel about it or what I think about it. It is simply closed. It is true that it is closed. There is such a thing as objective truth. You've got to, even in the modern houses that have all the weird things going on, you still have to have a good foundation. Truth matters. And truth matters not just because we can believe what really is and have a right view of the world and know how to live our lives. It does matter for those reasons, but it also matters because truth is ultimately what leads people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And truth is what helps God's people grow and become the people of God that God has called us to be. The Bible says that Jesus in his earthly ministry said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So Jesus believed in the truth, and believed it could be known, and believed it was objective, and believed it would have a positive result. And Paul believes the same thing. Paul here in this scripture is going to talk about the truth. This one verse I've set aside, but we're actually going to go to several places in Ephesians, and we're going to look at all of the verses, which are just, there are seven of them, okay, where truth is mentioned because it's an emphasis here in this passage, and it will help us to see why truth matters. But Paul is encouraging them to speak the truth to one another because we're members of each other. Okay? You and I are part of the body of Christ. And as we speak truth, whether it's just speaking truth and being honest, which is important, right? It's important to get the right messages in your human body, right? If your brain is telling your hand the wrong thing to do at the wrong time, that's not good. That means you're sick. And so there needs to be truth, but there also needs to be the truth, which is, of course, Jesus Christ, and there needs to be the Word of God, because the Bible says the Word of God is God-breathed. That is the Scripture. It's God-breathed. It's given to us by God Himself, and it reveals all kinds of things about who God is, about how to have a relationship with Him. It reveals who we need to look to for eternal life. All of these things are contained in the truth. So Paul points them to the truth unapologetically. And we need, as God's people, to be the people of the truth and to pursue truth in our lives, but also to share truth with others, because it can make all the difference. So the title of my message is Why Truth Matters. We'll read this one verse, and then I've got a sheet with the verses written on it to help me out. But if you want to turn, I'll tell you the reference of each of these as we go to them. But let's look at verse 25 of Ephesians 4. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another." All right? So why truth matters? Why does truth matter? Truth matters to us because it guides to eternal life. That's the first thing. And if you look in Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth." the gospel of your salvation and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The gospel of your salvation. This is the truth that they heard. Did you know there is power in the Word of God? Paul says in the book of Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. First for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. Isn't that wonderful news? The gospel saves Jews and Gentiles, but it also is the power of God to bring salvation. God elsewhere says, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Yes, what I'm doing. To save those who believe not. What? The preaching of the Word of God. There is a supernatural power to bring conversion to the heart of a sinner in the truth of God's Word. So we need to speak truth. And I know it's not popular to speak truth, but you know, God doesn't care a whole lot about being politically correct. God's not concerned about being popular. God loves people. And because God loves people, then God tells people the truth so that they can have eternal life, right? Sometimes people get bent out of shape because we say there's one way to eternal life. But you know, there's just one way to come into this world physically too, right? And it's not the stork. Hate to break it to you, okay? Everybody who is ever born comes into this world the same way. People don't seem to have a problem with that, but when you say there is one way to eternal life by putting your trust in Jesus Christ, people have a problem with that. Isn't that interesting? But the fact is, God knows the way to eternal life because he's God, and he's the one who is in control of who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And he's told us the way, and we're wise if we listen to it. Listen, can I tell you something? God did something really marvelous. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to save you and me. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, not one sin. He's the only human being who has ever lived who has not sinned at least once. And most of us have sinned. If you're like me, you probably sin multiple times a day, right? If you do. But Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. And he went to a cross. He chose to die for you and for me in our place. Yes, he had enemies who wanted to put him to death, and God used the hatred of his enemies to accomplish his purpose. But Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. He said, I can call legions of angels just like that if I want to. No one's taking my life. I'm laying it down. Why did Jesus lay his life down? To take the penalty for our sins upon himself. To take the wrath of God upon himself in our place. And he said, it is finished, it's paid in full. And he rose from the dead. And the scripture says he appeared to over 500 for over a period of about 40 days. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, can I tell you, this is the truth of the matter. Jesus has provided a way. And without Jesus, there's no alternative but to face the justice and wrath of a holy God. That's the truth. And so what does God call us to do? He calls us to choose to turn from our sin in our own way to follow Christ. That's a choice of repentance. It's a choice of trust. And we receive Jesus into our lives in simple trust, and God will give us eternal life. And you can call upon God right where you are right now. You don't have to wait for the end of the service. You can, in your heart, call upon God right now and say, Lord, I've sinned. I need forgiveness. I want to turn from my sin in my own way. I want to follow you. I want to receive your forgiveness, and I want Jesus to come into my life, and I trust Jesus to save my soul. And can I tell you, on the authority of God's word, if you'll call upon God with a sincere heart, he'll save your soul right where you sit, and your life will be changed. So, truth matters because it guides us to eternal life. Secondly, truth matters because it expresses our love. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So speaking the truth in love. Many in our culture want us to believe that if we speak truth that is not politically correct, we're not being loving. In fact, they'll call it hate speech. To tell people there's just one way to heaven, that those who don't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ are going to go to hell. They'll call that hate speech, but it's the truth. Okay? So, truth is the expressing of our love. Why? Well, because if you truly care for somebody, you don't want them to go to hell. If you truly care about somebody, you don't want them to experience the justice of a holy God. And as a child of God, caring for another child of God, if you truly care about that other child of God, you're going to want to walk them to walk closely with the Lord in spiritual vitality. And as you speak the truth in love, that person can become the child of God he wants them to be. And they can know God's joy. And they can live in the fullness and effectiveness of his power. And so it is the loving thing to share truth. Some people say, well, you're sharing truth, you're being unkind. No, truth may be uncomfortable sometimes, but it is the kindest and most loving thing we could ever do to share the truth. Truth matters because it expresses our love. And as we speak to one another in the body of Christ, God wants us to show our love for each other in speaking truth, being honest, but also in speaking the truth, the Word of God, and sharing that with others. All right. So truth matters to us because it guides to eternal life. Secondly, because it expresses our love. Thirdly, truth matters because it teaches us God's way. If you look in chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus." One translation, if he uses the word way there, but he says, you've not learned Christ. There's a specific way you're supposed to live. And there's specific truth about Jesus Christ you need to follow. Now, that doesn't get you to heaven, but it is the way that God wants us to live. Okay? So, the truth teaches us God's way. Now, that's important. Have you ever known somebody that was just impossible to please? No matter what you do, they find some kind of fault with it. If you go and talk to them, they'll say, "Well, that person won't leave me alone." And if you don't go and talk to them, say, "That person doesn't care about me." You know, I mean, it's a lose situation. No matter what you do, they're going to find fault with it. Some people are like that. Praise God that He is not like that. He has shown us His way in His Word. He's made it clear to us. Of course, the way of salvation we've already talked about. He also shows us the way to live a moral life that pleases God. He's given us the Ten Commandments, right? The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What great teaching that is. And it's God's way. So God teaches us His way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But God shows us His way. Aren't you glad God shows us His way and that we're not in a guessing game trying to figure out what God wants? He's made it clear. He's given us His Word, and He's laid out the path before us. What a wonderful thing to have the Scriptures. Most of us in this room probably have several copies of God's Word in your... Maybe you've got different translations of God's Word in your home. And you have the blessing of constantly being exposed to the Word of God. Many people in the world today don't have that privilege. Matter of fact, some will take one page of Scripture and the entire church will memorize that one page of Scripture and pass it on to the next city where there's a Christian group there because they don't have the Word of God. And that's the only way they can hear it. We saw a video a number of years ago of a tribe receiving the Word of God in their own language for the first time. It was so moving. And these are Christians. They've been one to faith in Christ, but they had no scriptures to guide them. And you see the man taking the first copy of the Word of God that they pulled off the plane, and he's holding it up, and he's just praising God in a language I couldn't understand, but they had subtitles, so I was able to understand. And he's praising God for the great blessed thing that he's done. He's shouting, "Oh, God has given us His Word," and God, and it's just so moving. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has given us His Word? We need to be in it. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it because it teaches us God's way. And God's way, the Bible says, my way is higher than your way and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so if you want to live life on another level, you need to find out what God's way is and be in the Word of God. So why truth matters? Truth matters to us because it guides to eternal life, because it expresses our love, because it teaches God's way, because it changes our hearts. Verse 24, we read this one last week, chapter 4, verse 24, it says, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in truth, and true righteousness and holiness, or in righteousness, holiness, and truth. It's another way to translate that. So this creation of God into this new self is accomplished through God's Word. And yes, it is true. We're made a new creation in Christ when we put our trust in Jesus, right? God makes us new. But He continues that creative work. And He does it through His truth that the Spirit applies to our hearts. He changes us and He grows us. A leopard can't change its spots. You've probably heard that before, right? There's many people in the world that believe that you cannot change. You can't be a different person. But I'm going to tell you on the authority of God's Word, you can. God can create a new person within you when you repent and put your trust in Jesus. And then He can continue that work of making you more and more like Jesus as you trust in Him and follow Him. It is truly an amazing thing. And how does He do it? He does it through the truth. The truth, over time, changes hearts. One reason I preach the Scripture, and I preach it unapologetically, is because it changes the hearts of people. It's like nothing else. Listen, I could try to talk you into something. Chances are you're going to think, that preacher doesn't know anything. There you may go and disagree with me and not be influenced by that. But the Word of God has a supernatural power to it to change the hearts of people. And so you need to be in the Word of God. It will help you learn to be more like Jesus. All right, so why truth matters? It matters because it guides us to eternal life. It expresses our love. It teaches God's way. It changes our hearts. It edifies other people. Now we're to the verse we read earlier. Therefore, putting away lying, speak truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. God's truth edifies. Honesty edifies as well, just honesty in general, because it is, listen, if you don't know you got cancer, you can't deal with the problem, right? When you go to the doctor, and if you have a serious cancer, you don't want him saying something to make you feel good, right? You want him to say, you've got cancer, and we need to take care of it, and we've got a process we can go through, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to address the problem, right? Honesty and truth help you when you go to the doctor's office, right? Help solve the problem. The same thing is true spiritually. We need truth, but we also especially need the truth. One scripture talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And also the speaking to one another is what builds up the body of Christ, right? They're speaking gifts of the Spirit. They're serving gifts of the Spirit. So as you speak edifying words, you encourage your brother or sister in Christ, and you help them in their walk with God. That's why we have teaching in church. That's why we have Sunday school classes. That's why we have discussion. That's why we have services where we give you an opportunity to share with one another, because we want this speaking ministry of the church to thrive, because it's from God. So it edifies. But what will edify, that has a special power to edify, is the truth of Scripture. The Hebrews says that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It exposes us for who we are. And it shows us what we need to do with our lives and how we need to respond to God. And it gives wisdom. It imparts wisdom. Oh, the wisdom. I don't have time to get into it, but the wisdom of God's word is so great. And so it edifies us and builds us up and prepares us for life and prepares us for the future. Listen, I love sports. I like to watch football. I've done quite a bit of watching football. And watched UT play yesterday. Okay, I'm not against sports. But a lot of times I hear people say this: well, you need to put them in sports so they'll learn character. I understand discipline and so forth. I understand what people are saying and what they mean by that. But I think you ought to put Jesus first. And you ought to seek the truth in His Word first. Because what builds character and edifies like nothing else is the truth of God's Word. Now, you know, my son played sports. You know, he did some of those things, and Megan did too. But I would rather have seen them not play a single sport and know Jesus Christ and live for Him and honor Him with their life than to be the greatest athlete in the world. This Word of God edifies us and builds us up for life. So why truth matters? Well, it matters because it guides us to eternal life. It expresses our love. It teaches God's way. It changes our hearts. It edifies other people. Well, it also bears spiritual fruit. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." So it consists of these things, or it is in these things. It could be translated that way. So that this fruit actually comes about because of the Word of God. Okay? So, the fruit of the light, that spiritual fruit. Galatians 5 talks about this, right? It calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and it's opposed to the works of the old nature. What is it that changes us and makes us new? Well, we're made new through the salvation that Jesus brings to us, but we're also changed as we walk with the Spirit and as we're filled with the Spirit of God. The fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are displayed in our lives as we walk in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? Well, there is, the Bible says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit can fill you and empower you. The Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. And so, one way we are filled with the Spirit and we bear these spiritual fruits is to be in the Word of God, because it lines us up with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Scripture is the sword of the Spirit. It's the instrument that the Spirit uses. But it also, what does the Spirit want? The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, right? So He wants us to live holy, righteous, godly lives. So how do we live holy, righteous, godly lives? Well, one way is to know what a holy, righteous, godly life looks like. And we find that out in God's Word, right? And as God's Word is used by the Holy Spirit to change us and bring us more into line with who God is, guess what? We're going to be walking more closely with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be bearing more fruit. Fruitfulness spiritually comes about as a direct result of the work of Scripture in the life of an individual. Now, I believe that the Spirit of God can use people without the Word of God. There are places that don't have the Scriptures. and God is at work in these places. But all I'm saying is that the Word of God is makes it that much better because it helps us align ourselves with God and where He is. And you get, like we've said before, you get under the spout where the glory comes out, right? And you're aligned with the Lord. And the more you align with Him, the more the Spirit can control and fill and use you in your life. And you'll bear fruit. So the Word of God helps us bear spiritual fruit. By the way, one other thing that's important about this is if you're sinning, you're quenching the Spirit of God, right? How do you identify your sin? Well, sometimes your conscience may help you identify that, right? But in some cases, and I've had this happen in my own life, I'll be reading the Word of God the next day after sinning the day before, right? And maybe not even realizing what I've done, and I read this scripture, and the Spirit of God convicts me of my sin and shows me you are wrong, and you need to repent. And so the Word of God, when I confess and repent of my sin, it brings me back into line with the Spirit. See how that works? So the Word of God helps us so much in bearing spiritual fruit. So that's yet another reason. So it guides us to eternal life. It expresses our love. It teaches God's way. It changes our hearts. It edifies other people. It bears spiritual fruit. It prepares us for battle. It prepares us for battle. Ephesians 6:14 speaks of the spiritual battle that we have. It says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So having fastened the belt of truth, and this belt that they used in this armor was what everything else hung on. So the truth of God prepares us for spiritual battle. Can I tell you something? If you're a child of God, you're going to have spiritual battle, whether you realize that in your life or identify what's going on or not. It is there. And the more you serve God and the more you do for God, the more spiritual battle and opposition you're going to have. And so you need to be prepared for battle. What did Jesus do when he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil? Three times he quoted scripture. And he quoted it from the Psalms. Is that right? No. He quoted it from, of all places, Deuteronomy. Three times he quoted Deuteronomy. Jesus knew God's word. He wrote it, by the way. Jesus knew it, and he quoted the scripture, and the Bible says, "And the devil left him until an opportune time." You see, the Word of God is a weapon that can be used against the enemy in personal temptation. I encourage you to memorize Scripture. If you've got an area of sin in your life, to memorize Scripture and to quote that Scripture when you're tempted. It's a weapon that can be used against the enemy. But it's also a weapon that can be used in warfare when we're trying to minister to other people or we're trying to win somebody to Christ. There is a spiritual battle. I went to an evangelism conference one time, and this has been years ago when I was still in Texas, but the guy was talking, he said, we went to this door, and he said, if you don't believe in spiritual warfare, he says, I heard this hideous scream. It came right out of the television. Right at the time where I was getting to the point where I was going to invite this person to trust Christ. And he said, I couldn't help but believe that was the distracting work of the enemy. A lot of times you'll see distracting things come about when you're talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. And it's always a good idea, I think, to go out in twos because for several reasons. But one reason is if somebody else is distracting, that other person can, if it's a child, you know, hey, you know, you could say, hey, let's go look at this toy, you know, whatever. And let that person hear about Jesus, right? So there's a distracting work, but the enemy also speaks lies into the minds of people. And his representatives do the same kinds of things. And so as you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and you're sharing the Word of God, you can break down those lies that people believe and you can help set them free. Sometimes another Christian may come to you, and they may have a question. As you share the Word of God, and you're explaining, okay, no, you don't need to be worried or upset about this, and here's why. This is what the Bible says. And you begin to go, and you begin to share with that person what the Bible says, and there's peace to their soul. Why? Because they have understood the truth. And the lie of the enemy has been done away. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will even bring lies into your own life. And sometimes you may not even realize it, and you come across a scripture that exposes the lie for what it is. And you say, okay, I'm believing the wrong way. I need to put my trust in what God says. So it's a weapon. You can also use it as you pray for your family. As you pray for people who are lost, you can pray the scripture over them. What a great idea. Use it in battle. The Bible says if we pray according to His will, He hears us, and we have the request we're asking of Him. So as we pray according to the will of God, there's special power in that. So pray the Word of God over your family. Pray it over this church. Pray it over those people you know at your workplace who don't know Jesus Christ. And ask God to break the strongholds of the enemy. God's truth is powerful, and it prepares us for battle. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've been burdened as I've been thinking and looking at things happening in the culture. There are a lot of things to look around you, and you see a lot of people denying truth, denying what's real. And you see, I heard this week about a systematic effort to try to turn the hearts of our children away from truth. And it just grieved my heart. Listen, the devil always has a new strategy and a new plan. But listen, our God is still on His throne, and His truth still holds supernatural power. And isn't it interesting? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And listen, when you shine the light of the world, it can drive out darkness. And so believe, first of all, in absolute truth, because absolute truth is real. It's evident in our world. But also be in the Word of God. Saturate your mind with it. Use it and let it change who you are. And let it be a part of how you interact with other people. Ask God to bring scripture to mind that will help somebody else. And let God use you, because, listen, my mother was sharing with me, she has a practice of passing out gospel tracts, which is a great practice. But anyway, she was going through a drive-thru, and she handed this girl a gospel tract. And you get all kinds of reactions sometimes when you do that, but she said, the girl just said, she began to cry. She said, you don't know how much I needed this. Thank you so much. I mean, she hadn't even opened it yet. It seems like there is a hunger for truth in our world today. And I think it's because people are trying to obscure it. And there's a hunger for it. And if we as God's people would just shine the light, what could God do through us? Maybe some people get set free. May it be so to the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that our great Savior, Jesus Christ, is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, thank you for the scriptures that you've given to us, Lord, that show us your truth. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in the proclamation of Scripture, whether it's in conversations with friends or loved ones, or whether it's in the church.